All right. Good morning, guys. Good morning. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. Welcome to the Grove Bible Chapel. What a great day. We're so glad that you could join us this morning for worship. This is summer camp weekend for our church, and so we have, as you guys know, so many of our students and volunteers down at camp this weekend worshiping the Lord right now. I had the privilege of joining them the last couple days, preached there on Friday, having a lot of fun, worship. It's been extraordinary. Just looking out at you guys, mom and dads, your kids are having a great time. It's remarkable. I have to believe this has got to be our best camp that we've ever done. It is fantastic. They are safe. They are having fun. And they will be back, Lord willing, this afternoon. And so enjoy yourselves until they return safe and sound. We're so glad that you guys are here, and so thank you for coming. Welcome to our 10 o'clock service for the summer. We're going to have a great time this morning. We're going to be continuing in our sermon series titled Cornerstone. And so if you have a copy of God's Word, why don't you go ahead and join me in Matthew chapter 15 today. Matthew chapter 15. This has been a great series, week after week, looking at the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ together. What a blessing. Matthew 15, picking up there in verse 21. This is one of my favorite passages, yet it's honestly quite easy to misunderstand. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. We're picking up today where Pastor Scott left off last Sunday, and Pastor Robert the week before that. And as I said, this is one of my favorite passages, specifically about faith and persistence and prayer. And I trust that you're going to be blessed and encouraged this morning as we look at this account together. And here's why I say that. Just looking out at you guys, we're so glad that you're here. And one of the blessings of just getting to see you guys week in, week out, connect Sunday mornings or throughout the week. And even as you guys submit prayer requests to us, we get a pretty good idea what's going on. And I know that right now some of you, honestly, it's just difficult right now for you. And so I pray and I hope that this message this morning would encourage you. We do appreciate you guys, by the way, taking the time to submit those. Be doing that. We didn't mention it this morning, but take time. You can even scan the QR codes in front of you there, and it'll take you to an electronic way where you can submit prayer requests. We would love to pray for you. And so we're aware of many of the challenges that you guys are facing even now. For some of you, it's something physical. Maybe it's been a recent accident or an injury, maybe. Some of you are hurting relationally. There's some relational challenges for sure. Others of you, it's financial in nature. I know that we do have some parents here and some grandparents as well with heavy hearts. Your kids, your grandkids maybe, they're making choices that you know are not in their best interest. Maybe they're rebelling. Maybe they're wayward. Maybe they're lost. Others of you are simply looking for some answers as it relates to something health-related. Maybe it's treatment options. Is it a medical issue? Perhaps you're looking finally for an explanation to what's been going on. Others of you have lost a job. You're looking for a job, maybe trying to find a better job. And isn't this true? Sometimes just making ends meet is hard. You have faith. You have persistence. You're praying. Yet, like me, you live in the real world with rising costs of education and insurance and health care and living expenses and gas in the tank. And man, just buying groceries, it hurts. And so how do we, the average Christian, how do we live out our faith with persistence, prayerful? How do we do that in the real world? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And that's what we're going to see now as we pick up in verse 21. I tell you what, before I read the passage, why don't we first pray together? Can we do that? Let's go before the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this time to gather together as your people, as your body, to worship you, to lift up high your name. And God, my heart is just filled with gratitude to think about all the students, 100+ students, so many volunteers serving so faithfully this weekend, lifting high the name of Jesus this morning as well. Bless them, Lord. God, we thank you this morning for being a God that speaks. And you have spoken to us most clearly through your word. Thank you for being a God that communicates so that we might know who you are. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming to reveal to us the God that you are, the God who speaks. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for inspiring the writing of scriptures. We would pray and we would plead that you would illuminate our understanding this morning of the Bible so that we might know Jesus better and what he has done. God, as we examine your word this morning, we do so in faith that you will speak to us. That's our prayer. That's our ask. That is our request. This we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen. All right, let's get into it. Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. Big idea this morning is faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. All right, that's the big idea. This is going to be the thread weaving throughout the entire passage. Faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. And as far as sermon points go, my first point this morning is great faith is focused on Jesus. That's what we're going to see now. Notice there, verse 21. And going away, are you guys looking? From there. Now, just think about this. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? How phenomenal would it have been to live with Jesus and to minister with him? Could you imagine? Man, day after day, he performs these supernatural, incredible miracles. How phenomenal that would have been. And they have a front row seat. And it's interesting, today it seems that it's time to withdraw. Maybe just for a breather. It's not much of a breather, but it seems like it's time just to withdraw a little bit. It says there, verse 21, and going away from there, Jesus, do you guys see it? What does it say? Withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Okay, Jason, where's that? Well, this region is northwest of the Sea of Galilee, and it's about 20 miles northwest of the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee specifically. And you might find this interesting. This is the only time that's recorded and that I know of that Jesus actually left the borders of Israel. Except, of course, when his family took him to Egypt at the very beginning of his life. And so this is very, very interesting. And what's interesting about this is that Jesus did not have a public ministry in the area. And so he's now going into this area, but not to have a public ministry. He's going there, it says, to withdraw, or to withdrew, it says. Most commentators agree that it's likely that Jesus wanted just a little bit of time of rest, wanted a little bit of, oh, I got to breathe just a little bit. He wanted just a little bit of rest from the Jewish leaders and an opportunity to continue to prepare the disciples for his coming crucifixion and their upcoming ministry. And so that's kind of what I think is going on. That seems to be what's happening there when it says Jesus withdrew. And so if you've been with us during the last, my goodness, it's almost been an entire calendar year. If you've been with us, you know that week in, week out, we're examining the ongoing demands of Jesus' ministry. It's remarkable, isn't it? Right? It's pretty remarkable. His pace, wow. It's remarkable. Honestly, it's remarkable. Help me, teach me, counsel me, heal me, deliver me. Every single week, that's what's going on. That's a day in the life of Jesus Christ. My wife, my husband, my son, myself, we need you, Jesus. Help, help, help. That's ministry. And honestly, it's still like that today. It's still like that today. Help me, teach me, counsel me, heal me, deliver me. So many needs to meet. It's overwhelming. And this is how it's been. And today it says Jesus withdrew. And let's not forget Jesus in his deity, right? Isn't this true? Jesus in his deity, he is all powerful. Amen? No doubt. He could meet everyone's needs. Piece of cake. No sweat. No problemo. Yet in his humanity, Jesus had needs. He hungered, he slept, he wept, he had real physical limitations to deal with. Now in verse 22, here we meet a woman who pushes through Jesus's what appears to be a need for rest to get an audience with him, and this is so remarkable. This is so remarkable. Notice here, verse 22, and behold, what does it say? Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out. You see what she says? You see it there? Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. You guys see what she said? She cries out, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Where's this lady from again? What did it say? Canaanite, that's right. She's a Canaanite, which means she didn't know Jesus was Savior and Lord like we do today. The title Lord was probably just an expression of respect, probably. She does not fully realize what she's saying, though she does use the term son of David to show at least she does have some knowledge of Jewish things. And so for her to go to Jesus is a really big deal, and I kind of want to emphasize that. For her to go to Jesus as a Canaanite, that's a really big deal. It would have been much more natural for her, much more common, expected even, for her to go to Eshmun, a pagan god of healing whose temple was like 3 miles away. That would have been the place where you would have expected her to go. But she doesn't go there. Instead, she goes to find Jesus. It would have been much more natural, much more common, expected even, for her to go see her pagan god. But instead, as she has heard, the Lord is near. And so she goes to him instead. And then at the end of verse 22, do you see her issue? It's very tragic. She says, for my daughter is cruelly, cruelly demon-possessed. As I read this, here's what stands out to me. I think it's hard to miss the compassion of our Lord. Hopefully you guys see that. Pastor Scott was preaching last night to our students about the kindness of our Lord, about the compassion of our Lord. And I hope you notice that week in, week out as we're going through this series. It's hard to miss, and I don't want to overlook the fact that our Lord is very compassionate. And Jesus was gracious and kind to all, except maybe the religious people, but generally kind, gracious to all, but especially to hurting women. It's just a simple observation. But listen, ladies, if I could simply encourage you, don't miss this in the text. You won't find a single time in the Gospels where a woman comes before Jesus and doesn't find a compassionate Lord, desiring to help them, to meet their needs. Not once, never, doesn't happen. It's truly remarkable. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. And that should encourage you, ladies, with whatever is weighing heavy on your heart today. He's good, and he's kind, and he's compassionate, and he was especially gracious and kind to all people, but especially to those who are hurting, specifically the ladies. And so here comes this Canaanite woman. Why did she come to Jesus? I guess she's heard about the reputation of Jesus. He has success in casting out demons. What's interesting is in this account, there's no mention of a husband. Is she widowed? We don't know. Is she divorced? We don't know. Maybe she's had hopes and dreams for marriage. Now shattered. Now she's all alone with a demon-possessed child. Can you imagine her challenges? Maybe she was unwed. Maybe she was trying to raise this child all by herself. Whatever her need was, her little girl needed a lot of help from our Lord. You know, before we move on, I just want to simply invite you to try to connect with this woman. See her as a person. See her as a human. She's just like you and me. She has hopes and dreams for her child. Try to relate to her. Life is uncertain for her right now. Her daughter's in great need. Try to connect with her. She's a human, created in God's image and likeness. Empathize with her. And as you do, I guarantee you, you'll find that you have way more in common with her than you probably realize. Maybe not in specific details, but in need, perhaps. In the desperation. In the helplessness. You know that feeling of being overwhelmed, don't you? Where do I go? How am I going to figure this out? I can relate to her. I can. There have been seasons in Gretel and I's marriage now of almost 20 years where we have been at points of great need, where passages like this have been a lifeline. Do you feel weary today? Are you overwhelmed? Are you burdened? Are you weak need? Do you feel overcome, like you're fading or failing? Listen, for us church, this woman is a great example. Her faith was focused on Jesus. Can you say the same thing this morning? This morning we're seeing that her faith needs to be focused on Jesus. And as I shared at the very beginning, our big idea this morning is faith is a daily choice. It's a choice. It's a choice made in every circumstances. And some of you may find yourself in a place far beyond what you can control. Right now, you can't control it. It's out of your control. That's where you find yourself today. And perhaps it's not you immediately, but maybe it's a family member in desperate need. You can't help. But you still feel the weight of that. Maybe it's a loved one, their marriage. Perhaps it's about to collapse. Maybe it's a job that seems to elude you. Remember, fix your eyes on Jesus. That's a challenge this morning. Run to him with your heavy heart. Turn to him even now. That's how you can glorify God this morning, church. Take to heart the things that you hear. Lean into it. Apply it. And just some honesty, because I'm in process like you guys. I don't know if you're this way, but sometimes I am. When you find yourself at that point of need, have you been there? Maybe you're there now. When you find yourself at that point of need, fixing your eyes on Jesus, is it the last thing that we do? Maybe it's the last thing that you do. And so we work, we toil, we worry, we fret, we get anxious, we toss and turn, often to the point of exhaustion, neglecting our faith. But today we have a new opportunity, don't we? To refocus our faith on Jesus. And we're reminded once again, faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. You know, as one of the pastors here, one of the elders here, I have the privilege, just like the other men here at the church, that we get to walk through the best of times with you. And we love the best of times, all right? Babies being born. Boy, that's a nice day, right? But we also walk through the worst of times with you. And it's a privilege, and it's an honor. It's an honor to share the highs and lows of life. And what I'm seeing over and over and over again, this is true. The circumstances of life that we walk through, they typically do one of two things, all right? And so this is what I observe. Maybe you've observed this too. I'm sure any one of our pastors could mention the same thing. As we go through these hard times, these trials, these difficulties in life, they typically do one of two things. One, they will either harden us, or two, they will soften us to spiritual things. And the longer I minister or care or counsel in the church, the more I'm involved in people's lives, the more I observe that the things that we go through is not that much different. It's really not that much different. We want to think it's different. We want to think that our lot is harder. Man, I got a harder road than everybody else has. She's got it much easier than me. I got it much harder than he does. That's kind of what we think. But the truth is, our struggles are not that much different. If you put us all together, it's a lot the same. We are struggling with similar things, trusting God with similar things. Faith is hard. We have a similar sin nature. We're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I... We have it all in common. We're prone to leave the God that we love. Now, obviously, some people do go through, I realize, life-devastating things that we don't all experience. I realize that. But here's the truth. We experience life, and as we experience it, different circumstances, we're going to be challenged. Crossroads, one of two responses. How are we going to respond? Is this trial, temptation, difficulty going to soften us to spiritual things, or is it going to harden us to spiritual things? Are we going to get softer, tenderer, get more perspective on the Lord, humble, drawn to Him? Or are we going to get stiff and firm and angry and resentful and more difficult for God to work with? You see, it has to do with the soil of our hearts. What's the condition of the soil of your heart today? Just getting real. You know, here's what I've seen over and over. The same things beat upon the same lives. And some people choose to get hard, and some people choose to get soft. Some people get humble, and some people will get very angry. Which one are you? Is your difficulty this morning making you bitter? Or is it making you better? How are you responding to the difficult day in your life? And if today's the difficult day, if today is that day, then take a moment and ask, Lord, how am I at in regards to my relationship with you? Where's my heart at concerning this? Chances are you already know. Next verse. You're not going to believe this. Check out verse 23. What does our Lord do? What does he say? Look there. Notice there, verse 23. Here's my second point. Great faith overcomes obstacles. All right. Check this out. Verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. Wait a second. That can't be right. And his disciples came and were pleading with him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. Huh. And so the disciples are like, she's got to go. She's causing a ruckus. She keeps shouting at us. Jesus, this is our mini vacay. This is our respite. We're supposed to be chilling just a little bit. And here comes this lady. She's not even Jewish. She's a Canaanite. She's shouting at us. Send her away. And what does Jesus say again? It says that he does not answer her a word. Huh. Interesting, isn't it? In verse 22, we learn that this Canaanite woman, again, Jesus in Tyre and Sidon, what does that tell us? It tells us that this woman is a Gentile, not Jewish. She's a Gentile woman. What does that tell us? It tells us she's got a big problem. Big problem. What's her problem, Jason? She's the wrong religion. She's the wrong culture. She's the wrong gender. And yet she pursues Jesus anyway. Why is this important, Jason? It's because Matthew wants to emphasize and let us know how seriously the cards are stacked against this lady, all right? This isn't an easy ask, in other words. And so Jesus has said, you guys know this, Jesus has said, in fact, he's going to say it in the next verse, but Jesus has said that his ministry is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? Verse 24, notice there. He answered and he said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What does that mean? Well, Jesus knows ultimately God's plan was for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, but Jesus was focusing on the nation of Israel first, offering the gospel to them, which they rejected. Next verse, verse 25. But she came back. She ain't leaving. But she came and was bowing down before him, saying, Lord, help me. Honestly, this is very sad, isn't it? My heart goes out to this lady. I hope yours does as well. Mark's gospel has a parallel account to this, kind of recording the same thing. And Mark emphasizes that she kept begging him. This Canaanite woman, kept begging Jesus. She just kept on asking. She was relentless. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. Help me, help me, help me. You got to help me. Please, Lord. Cast the demon out of my daughter. She was relentless. Ah. Now, I want you guys to notice something, okay? Can we just be observant in the text? Can we do that? Just kind of be observant here. I think we all understand that times have changed for us, and it's different for us than it was for this woman. During Jesus' ministry, people spoke to Jesus face to face, right? Right? And so if you wanted to talk to Jesus, what did you do? You just went and talked to him face to face. That's how you did it back then. Not today. Today, it's not that way. When we speak to Jesus, it's not face to face. Today, we do so in prayer. Are you with me? That's how it works. And so in verse 25, we see that this woman was begging and pleading. And she kept asking Jesus, and he didn't respond. And he even seemed to be testing her by putting up obstacles. What a scene. Jason, what's the takeaway from this? Is there a principle maybe, or perhaps an example to follow? Well, again, today we speak to Jesus in prayer. We don't talk to him face to face. And this lady was getting after it, right? And that's what faith does. She overcame obstacles to get an audience. That's what she's doing. I just want to remind you, our big idea this morning is faith is a daily reminder made in every circumstance. That's what we're seeing. Faith overcomes obstacles. And so, okay, so question, Jason, why the testing? Why is Jesus he seems to be putting her off, sort of. Why the obstacles? Why the need to keep asking God? And I guess for us, why do we need to keep praying about the same thing? Why is that? Why the obstacles? And I think the reason for this is God wants us to persist in prayer because persistence allows our faith to grow. I think that's kind of the idea. Obstacles challenge our faith. Obstacles challenge our faith. And that testing provokes growth and maturity. Now, some of you, as you hear this, you may think, well, I get tired. I get tired. I really do. And when I don't, when I feel like God's not listening, I get discouraged. I guess I give up. I guess I get discouraged. I give up. I mean, I've been there, right? I've said that too. I've thought that. And what happens is our heart gets cold, our faith grows weak, and God becomes a philosophy and not our friend. And that's a sad and lonely place to be. And so let's get real, can we? Let's get practical. Why don't we kind of take this to heart here? You ever ask yourself, why aren't I more enduring? Why aren't I more willing to persist? The obstacles in my life, why aren't I willing to face them head on? Why does my faith sometimes waver in the face of difficulty? Why is that? It's a good question. It's maybe different for each of us. I know for me, I jotted down a few things for you. Maybe this will be helpful for you. This is kind of straight from my life. Maybe it'll be helpful for you. Three reasons why I'm not great. Maybe we collectively are not great at going to God to overcome, to persist, like what we're seeing here with this woman in Matthew chapter 15. Number one, sometimes I don't go to God because I feel unworthy. Has that ever happened to you? I just don't feel worthy, Jason. I mean, have you been there? Maybe you failed. I failed. I don't deserve his attention. Oh, I did it again. I did it again. I'm aware of sin in my life. And so I don't go to God because I feel unworthy. And so prayer is hard because I'm aware of my own sinfulness. And sometimes that awareness of my sinfulness keeps me from going to God. So three reasons why we're not great at going to God to overcome our obstacles. Number one, sometimes I don't go to him because I feel unworthy. Number two, sometimes I find it a lot easier to pray with others than I do to pray for myself. Have you ever thought that? Would you be embarrassed, maybe, if the people sitting around you were to know how much or how little time you actually spent in focused prayer? You know, some of us are really quick to say, hey, would you pray for me? 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 But we are very slow to pray for ourselves. Here's number three. Prayer is just simply a struggle. It's just hard. It's just hard. Is this how it is for you? Maybe I'm good for a day, 2 days, a few days, maybe even a week, weeks. But if I don't see much progress, not much is happening, not much is changing, then I get discouraged and I quit. But then I feel bad that I quit. And so out of guilt, I start to pray again. And so goes the cycle. Prayer is a struggle. Others of you are just, you're just kind of doers and you want to solve the problem yourself. Yeah, I'll pray about it, but if Jesus doesn't get after it right away, then I'm going to take care of it myself. And so I work. I'd rather be proactive, and prayer doesn't feel very proactive. Three reasons why we're not great, in my experience, at going to God and overcoming our obstacles. And listen, please hear me. I'm not standing here pretending to be like an all-star team best prayer worldwide. I'm in process like you guys. Amen? I'm in process just like you guys. And I need grace and I need to grow. The lists I shared are things that I've thought and wrestled about myself and battled to overcome. And what I'm learning is there will always be obstacles in our lives that require us to exercise faith. That's how it is here. That's how it is. It's just accepting that. That's how it is on this side of eternity. The question today is, will my faith overcome the obstacles like what we're seeing here? This lady had a big problem. Huge problem. Jesus was tired, and he had withdrawn. Short little vacay. She appears to be disturbing him on his respite. Once again, wrong religion, wrong culture, wrong gender, and yet she pursues Jesus anyways. Check out verse 26. Third point, great faith is persistent. All right, back at it, verse 26. And he answered, that's Jesus. What does he say? What does he say? It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Did I read that wrong? Is that what your Bible says? It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Does it really say that? Jesus looked right into her eye, tears running down her cheeks. We know that she's thrown herself at Jesus' feet, and what does he say? What? It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Like, I don't know, it just doesn't sound right. Does that sound right? Maybe it's a mistake, honestly. Maybe it's a mistake. I don't think my Jesus would say that. Is that a mistake? That's why I said at the beginning that this passage is very easy to misunderstand. And so I tell you what, why don't we take care of this right now? Let's just clear it right up. If you got a pen handy, why don't you go ahead and take that pen? Let's just scratch out verse 26. Is that what we do here at the Grove? We scratch out parts of the Bible that don't make sense? No! No way! Are you kidding me? We don't do that. Here's what we believe. We believe that if it's there, it's there because God wants it there. And so the challenge for us is we just got to figure out what's going on. And so as you can imagine, this took a little time this week to figure out. Took a little time. And so Jason, what's happening here? What in the world is going on here? Well, in these days, Jews would have frequently insulted the Gentiles by calling them dogs. All right, that part is true. That's not great. It would have happened. It did happen. But that's not what Jesus is doing here, really. In ancient Palestine, these dogs, think wild or mangy, junkyard dog. Think like scavenger, all right? And looking at it closer this week, the form Jesus uses here, there's actually two different words for dog in the original language in Greek. And the word that Jesus uses here is more of an endearing form of the dog, as in little dog. Kynarion is the actual word, and it suggests kind of more of affection, a little bit more affection, like a domestic pet. And so, all right, so I guess that changes it a little bit. And so just to be clear, I don't think Jesus is insulting the woman. I don't think that's what he's doing at all. He's not. it just simply seems to be that he's rather testing her faith. He's kind of like drawing her out. He's drawing her out. Is she persistent? Does she really want this? Does she have faith in her heart? That kind of seems to be what Jesus is doing. And so Jesus calls this woman a dog, but it's a little dog, kind of the endearing dog. Maybe this will help her understanding. It took me a while, as I said, to study this out. And so the first word for dog, this isn't the one that Jesus is using. It's the wild kind. It's the mangy kind. We actually have a picture, I guess. And so that's not the kind of dog that Jesus is talking about. Rusty, crusty, dusty, and ding-dong, all right? That's not how Jesus is referring to this woman at all. That ain't it, all right? You stay away from those dogs. They're not your friends. They're not your pets. You run the other direction, all right? The other word for dog is the little pet, and that's the one that Jesus uses. Here's kind of a better, yeah, that's Fifi, Fufu, Tater Tot, and Pork Chop, all right? They're your friends, and they're your companion, and that's the slightly more endearing form that our Lord is using here. And so the Greek has this nuance. It's similar to Spanish. For those of you who are Spanish speakers, you can use the word perro or dog in Spanish, or perro malo, bad dog, but if you describe the same dog and use perrito, it's like, oh yeah, that's a little sweeter, that's a little nicer, perrito, that sounds nice. And that's kind of like what's Jesus has done here with the Greek. And so here's what Jesus is saying in verse 27. He's saying, everyone knows that while you're eating dinner, you don't take the kids' food and give it to your dog. Tater tot, all right? You don't give them your kids' food. You wait till the kids are done eating, and then you give them a doggy bag. And so here we see that, to some degree, Jesus testing her. And what he was saying, in effect, was, lady, how much do you really want this? And are you going to persist? And are you willing to humble yourself? Because you know what? Let's just be honest, a lot of people are not willing to do that. They are not. A lot of people are filled with, God, I'm going to ask you one time and you better get it right. A lot of people are like that. You're either going to handle this or I'm going to take care of it myself. And that's pride. And that's not what we see here. A lot of people get angry and they get frustrated. How could you do that, God? You're supposed to work on my timetable. That's not what this woman does. And so this morning the question is my faith going to be persistent? All right, good. I'm with you. So, okay, Jason, I'm following you. All right. What does this persistence look like, though? Kind of practically in my life, what does it look like? And I got a great passage for you in Genesis. In the book of Beginnings, in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestles with a man who turns out to be God. Do you guys know this account? Oh, wow! What a great example of persistence. Pastor Robert and I were talking about this over the weekend. Thank you, Pastor Robert. Let me read this for you. This is so good. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn. Do you guys know this account? This is remarkable. And he saw that he had not prevailed against him, so he touched the socket of his thigh, and so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed. Do you see the persistence in that? That's persistence. That's persistent faith that lays hold of God and says, God, you can change me. You can change the situation. But this is going to be my top priority until I get an answer. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I will not let go unless you bless me. And that's what this woman is doing. And that's what happens when we lay hold of fervent prayer. And that's the kind of prayer that gets an answer from God. Back to Matthew 15, verse 27. But she said, are you seeing this? This is amazing. This is extraordinary. What an example. What a lady. But she said, yes, Lord. Again, using Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow! What a gal. She's saying, you know what? I don't have any place else to go. And there's nobody else that can help me. And I'm not going to that pagan temple. And Jesus, I know that you're the one that can take care of my daughter. And so she's literally wrestling with God right now, just like Jacob. That's what's happening. And my daughter is in such a bad way. I have no plan B. I have nowhere else to go. That's persistent prayer. It's you or nothing, Jesus. That's the example to follow, church. Now look at our Lord's response, verse 28. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is, what does it say? What's the word? Great! Wow! Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, your faith is great! It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Wow! How about that? Although God's plan was to bring salvation first to his chosen Israel and then to the Gentiles, he responds to all who call on him with true faith. That's what we're seeing here. This Gentile woman's attitude of humble faith allowed Jesus' healing ministry to operate. How cool is that? This lady's a poster child for how to get your prayer answered. She would not be stopped. She would not be stopped. She overcame the obstacle. She persisted. She got God to help her. And the best news of all is this can also be true for you and for me and for us. And by the way, this isn't an isolated example. This isn't obscure. This happens. There's a lot of biblical examples just like this. When teaching on prayer, Jesus taught the same thing on different occasions. You guys know the persistent widow, right? Before the judge. And she was on it. And she ain't going anywhere. And she's not giving up. And you guys know what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. You guys remember that? What a great passage. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open for everyone who, what does it say? Asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask him? He's a good, good Father. I love the way that Matthew records this. He says, oh woman, wrong religion, wrong culture, wrong gender. Oh woman, great is your faith. The Greek word there for great basically is the root word that we know of as mega. It's like she had mega faith. Jesus says this woman is mega faith. Mega faith is a strong faith. It's an abiding faith. It's a continuing faith. It's a faith that doesn't give up. It doesn't crumble under testing or give up when the answer is wait. Mega faith continues. It persists and overcomes barriers, and it receives God's grace. Where are you at in regards to this morning? Does this describe your faith? Are you a man or woman of great faith? Would our Lord describe us this morning as men and women of great faith? Does our faith yield results? Make note of this, would you? I've mentioned it several times now that our big idea this morning is faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance, right? Is it sinking in yet? Is it sinking in? Nope, let me say it again. Faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. Allow that to sink in. Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. In fact, let's say it together, can we? Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. I want to choose it this week. Faith is a choice. Faith is a daily faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. That's the challenge. That's the invitation. And so if you're here this morning, loved ones, and you are not a man or woman of faith, what's stopping you today from choosing faith? Maybe you're here this morning and you have burdens and you're heavy-hearted and you're anxious and you're fearful and you're troubled and you're worrying and you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. What's stopping you this morning from choosing faith? And you're not trusting God. And you're not believing Him for the things that are weighing heavy. What's stopping you from choosing faith today? Faith is a choice. Am I going to live by faith? Am I going to live by sight? Am I going to live by faith? Am I going to live by sight? What's stopping you today from choosing faith? How are you living this morning? When times are hard, when you're not sure what's ahead, be reminded who our God is. Today we've seen that He's a good, good God. He is good, and He's kind, and He's compassionate. And we can wait on Him, and we can trust Him. Life has seasons. Life has valleys, ups and downs. And those who walk by faith can have confidence that God will bring them through that. Amen? Amen? That's right. Make the choice. Am I going to live by faith? Am I going to live by sight? This is such an incredible passage. Just a few verses left. It's not done yet. I want to read through this real quick. Verse 29. Last point. Great faith glorifies God. Yes! And departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee and having gone up the mountain. All right, back at it. He was sitting there. And large crowds came to Him, bringing them, those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, many others, and they laid them down at His feet and He healed them. The needs abound. People are coming. Some of them have faith, I believe. Great faith, probably. Lord, help me, teach me, counsel me, heal me, deliver me. Jesus, my wife, my husband, my son, myself, Jesus, help. We need You. He's back at it. Verse 31, so the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the cripple restored, and the lame walking. Marveled. Wow. Look what He does. And the blind seeing. And I love how this verse concludes. You guys see it? And they, what does it say? Glorified. What does it say? They glorified the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. And here we see great faith glorifies God. Perhaps as you hear all this, you're just sitting back. You're taking it in. And some of you are like, yeah. I want to get after it again this week. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to do it. And you know, others of you are, you know what, I've heard this before, and yeah. I've read this one. I know all about it. You know, I've heard that. I've heard a sermon on that before. I'm very aware of the information. And if I could simply just challenge you, great, information is good. You have it in your head. Fantastic. Do you have it in your heart? That's the challenge. This weekend, make a choice. Make it personal. Take to heart the word that you have heard. Don't move a muscle today without applying the things that you've heard. Wrestle with God, like what we saw in Genesis 32. Wrestle with God, like we see with this Canaanite woman struggling, contending, thinking, praying, seeking, asking, knocking. That's how we live the Christian life. That's a life of faith. That's a life of great faith. And this morning, if you haven't come to the point in your life where you've turned from your sin and embraced Jesus Christ by faith as the only basis of your forgiveness, as the one who died and paid the penalty for your sin so that a holy God could forgive you, if you haven't made that choice, if you haven't repented of your sin, if you haven't confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, then if you were to die in this moment, you should know that you will experience damnation, not salvation. But if you want to believe, and if you want to trust, and if you want to follow, I'm here to tell you today, take this to heart. Pray about it. After the service, come talk with one of the pastors, one of the elders. But whatever you do, don't leave here today without first answering this question for yourself. Make a choice. Follow Jesus. Faith is a daily choice made in every circumstance. Choose Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together, can we? Father in heaven, we do thank you this morning for your word. It is truth. Wow. Lord, sanctify us with your truth. Lord, thank you for recording the beautiful, the inspiring, the lovely faith of this Canaanite woman who was the wrong religion and the wrong culture and the wrong gender, but yet she pursued Jesus. And I got to believe that we will meet her one day. Lord, you said that she had great faith. And I pray that we too could be men and women of great faith. And so, Holy Spirit, as only you can today, would you be convicting? Would you be calling? Would you be gently leading, as only you can, each of the men and women where we find ourselves today? Help us to apply this. Help us to be the men and women of faith that you've called us to be. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us the mind of Christ. Help us, Lord, produce the faith in us. Be glorified above all. This we pray in Jesus' good name. Amen.